The quarantine coincided with spring, so there were a lot of long, hard looks at our yard and impulsive decisions that were made. A tree had started to grow right next to another planned tree we had. We recognized that space usurper as a native tree that we also had in the front yard, and we wanted to see if we could replant it to add more shade to our patio. We dug it out, dismayed at how thick the roots already were. The loud crack of the strong main root was somewhat chilling, but we had to think about how it might kill the planned tree if we let them grow together. So we put the tree in its own planned location out front, nearby its cousin or mother tree. It immediately wilted. The leaves turned a sandy brown and the entire tree drooped. We tied it to a stick, continued to water it, and then started to feel slightly awkward when we come out and see the now two sticks just jutting up from the ground. There were so many times I just wanted to yank that stick out. It was a shameful gardening defeat, right there out in the open for all the neighborhood to see. And yet, I thought of the classic book, The Secret Garden, in which Dickens explains to Mary that in a seemingly dead garden, plants still have wick, an inner hidden part of life we can't see. I was also encouraged by the regrowth of a fig tree in our backyard that had seemingly come back to life with lush white leaves and pulled itself toward the sun. So, feeling hopeful, I trimmed the sad tree of its dead leaves and waited, hoping for a sign of the wick. One morning, my husband remarked, "Do you see the bit of green growing?" At the base of the dead tree, small leaves sprouted. Our patience had been rewarded. Some millennials are called out for their excessive love of houseplants, and there's a sly cynicism that I hear in responses like, "Well, why not houseplants? They are cheaper and easier than children." However, I wonder if the obsession isn't from learning more about patience and about biding our time, that growing things that have meaning does not happen instantly. On the whole, millennials are not young anymore. Plenty of us are in our late 20s, a good deal of us are solidly in our 30s, or we're on that downward slope toward 40. We've had time to see relationships grow and decline, to see the birth and growth of children, and to watch the virility of our parents fade into life's sunset. Time has become more of a companion than an abstraction. We see it touch our lives more now, but we also see the fading powers that have been dictating the way that it's always been and how it's supposed to be. Maybe we grow plants because we are teaching ourselves patience to wait out a system that hasn't accepted the tendrils of our generation's power. Millennials, inured by the ravages of time and a system that makes us doubt our country's greatness, still has wick inside and wait for the wick's use in spring. When it seems that impotence is our lot, from only being able to watch the dismantlement of the post office and being asked to wildly laud an option to play it safe in politics, we may realize we are just in a time to wait, to water our inner lives, and to be ready to bloom as seasons change. From my so-called millennial life, I'm Cassie McClure.